You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. Not only is it Friday, it is the Friday before Labor Day. And so I hope that you have got plans to have an enjoyable holiday weekend with your family. And I pray that God is in those equations and you make plans to be sure and be in the house of God and worship Him. Wherever you may be. So back the first part of August, we had our general counsel, and we had a couple that came in, and when we began having conversation with them, they were in town for general counsel, which was over in Orlando, and decided they'd come to Cocoa Beach, and even while they were on vacation, they wanted to come to church. And so even though there's 20,000 people or more at the general council in Orlando, I saw them almost every day. And it was like, wow, I never would have known them before. They pastor out in Nebraska and things like that. So even when you're on vacation, understand that God does not take vacation. He watches over you while you're at home. He watches over you while you're enjoying holiday time and things like that. I pray that you would put God at the top of your list. If you do not have a church home, if you're new to the area, or perhaps you're just visiting, we'd like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. There's a guest speaker this weekend. His name is Dr. George Cope. He used to pastor Winter Park Calvary Assembly. He's headed up in the past multi-fellowship ministry called Vision Orlando. He's now got a new nonprofit that he's working on. My wife and I have known he and his wife Cheryl for decades and decades, and they're just phenomenal people, great heart. He's headed up a Bible college in the past, as well as pastoring churches in multiple states. He will be a blessing on Sunday morning, and so we'd like to invite you out to that Sunday morning, 10:30, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. So today we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21, and then we'll go on down to verse number 30. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So in verse number 22, that's where we left off yesterday. We see that as they began to sing and praise the Lord, that God began to unleash supernatural tactics that the enemy was not prepared for. There was an ambush that the Lord set up against them, and the allied enemies of Israel began to attack one another. And so all this time, the people are just praising the Lord. They don't know what's going on in the enemy's camp. They're just praising the Lord. And like I told you on an earlier program, the worship team is out front. That's not exactly where you would think that the praise team would be. But they go out and they're praising the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And that means that his mercy endures even when the enemies that want to destroy you are allied and in formation to try and take you out. Never forget to praise God for his mercy. And so the enemies began to attack one another. And it said, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, that would be the people of Edom, they helped to destroy one another. You need to remember that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he does. So there can be some alliances that are formed just because of hatred of people, but sooner or later, because the kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of division, not a kingdom of unity, that sooner or later they are going to begin to attack one another, and they bring about their ultimate collapse because they do not have the moral virtue that only God can give. And so that's what happens here. Now, I wish that I could tell you that every time you face a battle, that all you got to do is start praising the Lord, and then all of a sudden that problem is going to go away. But God doesn't operate by formula. He doesn't operate by the same thing. He is always pressing us forward to grow in our faith. The amount of faith that is required of me now is much greater than the quantity of faith that I was required to have in order for my wife and I to be sustained financially when we were first married. Economy's different. Rent's different. The bills have different faces on them. Back in those days, we had rent, we had utilities. There might have been a small car payment, and then there were some student loans and utilities and things like that. And there were only the two of us at that point in time, and it was because I worked on a commission basis. That meant every day was a day of faith. I had to go in there and say, okay, in order for the bills to be paid, this is how much I've got to sell in the next 2 weeks so that I'll be able to pay the rent and pay the electric and things like that. Those early days were very difficult. And I will tell you that most people, whenever they first begin to get involved in ministry, there's not this tremendous reservoir of resource that is available. if they're in it for anything other than the glory of the Lord, then they're going to be greatly disappointed because those other things do not have any capability of enduring. So the enemy is attacking itself while the praise team is worshiping the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse number 24 describes, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, that they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Even the last two people who were fighting were filled with such hatred for one another that they both inflicted mortal wounds on the other people, the other person, and they died. So the children of Israel are marching forward praising the Lord, and when they get to the battle lines, they find that the battle is already over. So what I was going to say about tactics was this: God will use different tactics to bring about the same result, and that is that God receives the glory, the honor, and the power, and the praise. When I first became the pastor, it wasn't too awful long, a couple of years before I was having to do something that I'd never had to do before in ministry, and that was I was having to deal with a sin problem that had shown up, and it was serious. And I mean, there wasn't that many people that were in the church, but I still remember what my strategy was. My strategy was this: God, I want you to take care of that. God, would you take care of that? God, I really need you to move on that person's heart and take care of this problem. And whenever I would pray that, God had an answer for me. He said, I appointed you the pastor. I want you to take care of it. Well, I'm not, you know, let's put it this way. Confrontation is not my primary motivation in life. I much rather be the encourager, the one who exhibits mercy and things like that. But on this situation, God made it very clear that I wasn't just supposed to praise him. I wasn't just supposed to pray. I had to deal with this from my position of authority. So I don't want to present 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as a one-size-fits-all model. The important thing was Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel did exactly what God told them to do, and then he did things that had never entered their mind. And the enemy was completely and totally wiped out. Verse number 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And if they had stayed inside the city, they never would have encountered such an abundance. Now, you have to understand that ancient military tactics had a different paradigm than what modern military tactics are. And so whenever you see now a city that doesn't have any food, the world comes and says, well, we'll provide food. Hunger and starvation was a military tactic in ancient times. And so if Jehoshaphat and his the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, had, so every time I've said the people of Israel during this, it's the people of Judah. if they just stayed in there having church, they never would have discovered that God had not only taken care of their enemy, but he was also taking care of their economy. They didn't have ATMs. They didn't have banks out in the wilderness. And I can tell you that when I read the word wilderness or desert in the scriptures, I really didn't think of a place that was desolate. But I, after watching a documentary on the wilderness of Israel, it's brutal. It's a place where, you know, you wouldn't choose that place to be a place where you live. And yet there are creatures that still live there. It was a fascinating and very informative documentary. But on multiple occasions, God brings an economic blessing to his people. And he does that because of the enemy bringing all of their wealth and their abundance with them. And when they find themselves attacking God's people and God intervenes or gives them military victory, to the victor goes the spoils. And so they start gathering up all of this. Now, I need to caution you, because this has happened before. This happened during the time when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and when they were escorted out of the land, encouraged to get out of the land as fast, the children or the people of Egypt just gave them gold and jewelry and all sorts of things. And when Moses is up on the mountain, they start using what had been provided to them as an economic blessing, and they create a calf idol out of it and give credit to their exodus from Egypt to this calf idol. And so that season of blessing became a spiritual downfall. So I can tell you this, when the enemy may mean your destruction, and God can use that point of contention, that conflict, to be a vehicle of blessing, but don't let that blessing become misappropriated. Don't use it as a substitute for God. Don't ever look at your bank account and say, oh, this is what's going to get me through. It's God that gets you through the bad times. It's God that gets you through the good times. It's God that gets you through your youth and your senior years. It is God who gets you through your times of health, and it is God that gets you through your times of sickness. And so don't ever let anything or anyone or your employer or anything like that be elevated to the place that it displaces God on the scale of priorities in your life. So, It goes on, and they gathered all of that for 3 days. It was more than they could carry off. And I will tell you, Malachi chapter 3 talks about when God's covenant people honor God with the tithe and offerings and bring it into the storehouse, that God will rebuke the devourer is one thing, but he also will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to contain. Praise the Lord for that. That's incredible. That's wonderful. So we have to remain pliable so that when excess does come, when success does come, that we don't allow it to damage us. We just allow it to enlarge our capacity. So it goes on, and it says, on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. The word Berakah means the valley of blessing. The valley in which their battle was supposed to take place became a valley of victory, a valley of blessing, a valley where they praised the Lord and rejoiced in all that they had done, or that God had done for them. For there they blessed the Lord. So a lot of times we focus on them praising the Lord before the battle. I want you to understand that the process isn't complete. The lifestyle of praise isn't just uploaded or front-loaded. It's meant to sustain us during the battle, and it is meant to continue after the battle as well. So make sure that whatever battle you're facing is saturated with prayer and praise before the battle. You let God have his way, but when the victory comes, don't forget to transform the test into a testimony. Don't forget to change the mess into the message. And don't forget to turn the valley of the battle into the valley of blessing. So they blessed the Lord, and that valley kept its name until 2 Chronicles chapter 20 had been written. It says, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So as they are praising the Lord in this valley, it came time to go back home, and they came back home with joy. My prayer is that the joy of the Lord will be something that is not just theoretical or philosophical, but it is something that is anchored in our experience with God. And we say, you know what? I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I can rejoice even when adversity is on the horizon, because that adversity doesn't control my fate. God does. And so they came back home with joy. And again, in those days, I mean, I think probably the last time something happened like this was maybe World War II or something like that, where when the war was over and people came back home, they actually threw ticker tape parades and things like that. It says here, for the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. My sister has this unbelievable memory for family events, family members. She's just gifted in a way that I may not even remember ever meeting a person, and she remembers them and they're pretty much their entire life story. There are a few family events that are etched in my memory as to what date they took place and things like that. And some of the things that I remember are victories. Well, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we allow the challenges of life and the problems of life to have a greater influence on us than the victories. Here, the children of Judah come back. They come back with joy, and it says, because the Lord made them to rejoice. It was It was something that he was. Did you know that God has the ability to change, to transform a person with a complaining lifestyle into a lifestyle of praise? You may be facing a huge battle, and God has the ability to turn what could be anxiety and uncertainty into a lifestyle filled with the joy of the Lord. I pray that God makes you a person of great joy, a person who doesn't struggle to praise God, but has seen God come through in so many victories that you have been made into a different type of person than you ever were before. And so there was rejoicing because their enemies had been defeated. And it says, so they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And so as we're praising the Lord, there's probably going to be some music that's involved in that. Music is not just a vehicle. It is actually a spiritual endeavor as well. And so music can help you to remember. If I asked you to remember lyrics to a song from 35 or 40 years ago, you might not be able to remember the lyrics until you start singing them according to the music. At least that's the way that it works for me. And so there was a breakthrough of praise that took place as they came to the house of the Lord. And it goes on and it says, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest. Remember that people are watching. Sometimes believers are watching. Sometimes family members are watching. Sometimes unbelievers are watching. Sometimes complete and total strangers are watching. Make sure that the praise that we have for God is not something that just takes place in private, but it takes place in such a manner that people will have a desire to hold God in the highest esteem, the place that he rightly deserves. When we are furthering the kingdom of God and bringing glory and honor to his name, it says this, instead of a battle, God will give his people rest. I pray today that you will experience the rest and the joy of the Lord. You have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.